I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. Be right here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in.
Hey, everybody.
It's a Friday. Thanks for being with us on the program.
Hey, everybody.
Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, we are chilled out, sitting on the couches here, sitting on the beautiful sectional here at the warehouse in Salt Lake City. Yes, that's where we are on a lot of Fridays. And you know what? This Friday, we're a week away from Memorial Day, but I'll just tell you right now, Tom and his team have been curating some deals for you that will be Memorial Day ready this weekend. So
they're not deals, Alex. They're boom deals.
They're boom deals. And you don't have to wait till Memorial Day for you to figure those things out. Don't do the thing where you go, I'm waiting on those prices. I'm walking around the warehouse today. They already have the Memorial Day prices going right now. 1825 South, 300 West right here in Salt Lake City. Glad to have you with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott, happy Friday to you, buddy.
Hey, thank you so much. It's Friday.
Oh, my gosh. We've got a lot to get through. So should we just jump in? Do you have anything you want to? I don't know. Are we supposed to take care of some business beforehand? Or
no, I
you
have
had some items of business.
No. Well,
any announcements? Anything? Nothing.
No. So my mom called me.
Okay.
My mom lives in Tucson, and she's 85 years
Snowbird.
Old. Snowbird. She's no. Well, she's a no bird. She's there all the time.
She's always there.
Yeah. She's a desert chicken.
Always there. Snowbird. No, yeah, she is, except for she never leaves. So there you go.
And so she lives in she lives in assisted living.
Okay.
My sister lives there, kind of watching.
Right.
She calls me. Hey, I need a pair of binoculars.
Yeah.
And
your mom does.
My mom calls me to tell me
okay.
this. And I go,
what's she doing?
I go, what do you need a pair of binoculars for?
She goes, bird watching.
Well, I'm just kind of confused. She goes, I look out the window and I can't tell what's down the street, so I'm trying to figure out. I need to be able to look further.
Oh, okay.
I go, Mom, I'm coming to see you. So
I'll bring you some binoculars.
I'll get you some binoculars.
Right.
And Bob's your uncle, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right. So I hang up. My sister calls me. Do not get her binoculars.
Whoa. Why?
She's trying to spy on the neighbors.
Okay. That's very different.
And
than
I go,
the,
I'm getting binoculars.
On the oh, yeah. You're like, listen.
So I called my mom.
Solidify your spot.
I'll be there Saturday morning.
Yes.
And I got you some binoculars.
And they're huge. I mean, you can spy on. I mean, you can see anything down the street, Mom.
She's 85 years old in a wheelchair.
Let her have her fun.
Let her spy on the neighbors.
Now, if you and I do it, and I go,
well,
honey,
we get put in jail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And
I go, my mom's okay.
Hey, honey, I got some new binoculars. What for? I just wanted to see stuff closer.
Yeah.
You take those back to Cabela's right now. That's the exact answer. All
well,
right.
See, at my house, I have a telescope.
I know. I've been. And I'm like, what are you doing with this? It's pointed down into the valley, too. You're just checking out the stars. Yeah, right.
And the moon.
That thing is facing into... If you live... No, listen. If you live anywhere between, I don't know, like, if you're near the
Draper
freeway...
Draper downtown.
Anywhere between Draper and downtown.
Please close your drapes at night, because I can see...
Scott's got this telescope. It points down, and he says, "No, I mean, I'm like Magellan over here, checking out the stars, figuring out how this works."
Hey,
what?
Jupiter? You can see the moons around Jupiter, just so you know.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the update.
You're welcome.
We're gonna start things off here. Megan is kind enough to run the show today, as we are. I mean, Megan is like the all star. Employee here at the Zone Sports Network, especially today. No, most days she is, but today it's even more so because she's just absolutely hustling big time. We're going to start the show off as we always do. It's The Cut right here at the top of the program.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, The Cut, as usual, brought to you by the University of Utah Health. University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. That's uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of The Cut. Super excited to be a part this year of the 1660 player profiles and lists that, of course, Hans and Scotty have been doing for years now on the Zone Sports Network. And we've opened up the voting for all the fans, for everybody else. We have our ballots, Scott, that are in our inbox here. And I thought, let's start things off and just kind of at least get to, I don't know, when I was looking at this list, I started to think, okay, you have to start off on the 1660. Do you work backward? Do you work forward? But I think the most important thing is to figure out who your top five to top ten kind of are. So I want to look at this list, and I kind of want to see what your thoughts are on some of the guys on this list. And because you're the guy who is so plugged into the University of Utah, I'm going to dip in on some of these things when it comes to the Utes that are on this list. I think the tendency that we have is to look at these lists, and we've already been hassled a little bit because they have it listed by school. They're like, no particular order, just listing it by school. So it goes, you know, all the players that are on the BYU list are all on there. All the players that are on these on all these different lists, you have BYU all clumped into one, Utah clumped into one. People taking screenshots of their votes, because you can do the fan vote, and people going, yeah, this is exactly what I want to do. All the BYU players, 40 through 60, right, for some of these guys, and then the other way around for BYU fans who are trying to get them back. But that's just the way this is, and I wanted to get your thoughts on. It's a hard thing because if you're a quarterback and you're good, you're going to be. I mean, even if you're decent, the position of quarterback gets elevated maybe a little bit more than the average than all the other positions, right? Because Scott, as you say, and I'll respect this, I'll defer, I'll give you deference on this. The quarterback is the most important position, not just in football, but in any sport, according to Scott. So, if you look at these quarterbacks, Cam Rising, Jaren Hall, Logan Bonner, out of the big three schools here, if you're to look at that list, are those guys that just kind of automatically go into the top five? I mean, Logan Bonner, I think because people don't tend to in the mainstream follow the Aggies as much.
But
you have to recognize that the guy had a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He's really dang good. He threw for a kajillion yards and he wasn't even totally healthy last year.
Here's what's hard, and I know people are going to poo-poo this a little bit, but it's really true. The teams that consistently play against the best competition, it's harder to have, you know, you're just playing against better teams, so it's harder to have those higher statistics. So you can't. I don't think you can compare statistically across the board between all these schools. I just don't.
It's right? hard to get an offensive lineman in the top five of these types of lists because you're looking for production typically.
But I can't see a Logan Bonner ahead of a Puka Nacua. I can't see him ahead of a Clark Phillips. I can't see him ahead of
Tavion
Cam
Thomas,
Rising.
Maybe.
I can't see him ahead of Jaren Hall. I can't see him ahead of Tavion Thomas. So is he a top five guy? If you're talking about all the quarterbacks, I would say two of the three probably top five guys.
Okay. I just, I
mean,
know,
I can tell you who I think the number one guy is.
Okay, so give me right off the bat. Don't, without further ado here, pull the curtain back. And because I do think that this will, I mean, that's a good thing about this list is it's kind of a living list. All year long, we kind of dip back in and go, all right, where are they really at now?
Here's how I look at them. You know how I look at them?
How?
It's pretty simple. If I'm going to start a team, do I want that guy on my team? Really, that's right. That's like, you know, if I had,
and if it's a top five guy, you go, do I want to build my team around this guy?
Yeah,
right. I mean, then
right.
You know, you're talking about being the top 60 player in the state of Utah. If you're number 48, it's like that's a nice player right there. He's probably going to be starting for you.
Yeah,
but what do you want to build the team around? So give me your number one in this preseason.
So my number one guy is Cam Rising.
So biased. I mean, so biased. I knew not to ask you. I'm just kidding.
It's not. Look, what Cam Rising did last year was short of phenomenal. I mean, he saved the whole entire season. He was extreme. He wasn't solid. He was electric. No game was bigger than he was. You know, he didn't shrink at USC. First time Utah's won at USC. This team started 1-3 on the season. And he just, you know, pretty much ran through the Pac-12 undefeated after that, and then was just phenomenal against Oregon at home, and the same thing in the Pac-12 championship, and the same thing in the Rose Bowl. And this guy's coming back, and in spring looked better than he did last year, and will be better just because he's got all that experience. So, there, in my mind, there's not a question. Now
I think you said something interesting there too. Which is a real shock to me. No, this is out of the norm.
I know,
for you.
Because you don't listen. If you listen to me, you go, you'd be like, wow, Scott, you actually say some pretty good
things. I don't
things.
Listen it's to
like,
you. I have to listen to you 180 minutes of dad going.
Well, I know, and that's the problem. Is that after a while, you just tune me out. And like
this is the same conversation I have with my wife.
I know.
It's just a, it's I just see sometimes a, you
I
tune
see
me
a,
out.
I see a recurring theme here.
I'm the problem.
Well, she wanted me to mention this today, and we're going to have an intervention when the show's over. You're going to go to listening school.
Listen, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. But you did this.
What did I say that was interesting? And thank you for listening.
He wasn't solid. He was electric. I like that because it's like, because so many times people have described quarterbacks who come in and fill in those gaps as a guy who, man, he was solid. And solid means not great. Right? I mean, just by its nature, you go, no one's going to go, what a solid point guard, you know, Mike Conley is. Then you go, oh, that makes it sound a solid anything. It's not what you're aiming for when it comes to the compliments on these guys. And that's why Cam Rising, the thing is his numbers, though, look solid, right? But there is something different in gameplay. There is something different that he does for this team. And there's really no situation. I think this is why the electric part comes in. There's no situation that he is nervous about, afraid to handle. And that's what makes these guys.
Can I tell you where he was electric?
Really, really good. What?
Third down.
Because he could get it on the
like,
ground.
It was amazing how many third downs he could converted last year.
Yes.
And you convert third downs, and now you have three more downs that you weren't going to have. And a lot of good things can happen in those three downs. And then you can convert another one. And then now it's six in a drive. You know, and so every time you convert third downs, it just puts more and more pressure on the defense and gives you more and more opportunities for these explosive plays. And he was phenomenal at that a year ago.
I have a hard time not putting Cam Rising at number one right now either. I mean, there's no. I just don't think there's a question because of what he does bring and what he makes this team. And it's honestly one of those things where it's just like, why is he so good? He's a transcendent dude in the locker room too.
Right.
So there's, for me, they get wins and there's a culture situation that Kyle Whittingham already tries to do, and then like he steps it up to a different level. Clark Phillips is the same way. Like when it comes to a culture guy, when it comes to a person who has a certain attitude, and so everybody's in sync when it comes to that team. And I think Clark Phillips is going to be one of those guys that, you know, I don't know if he's a top five guy. It's hard to be. It's hard to be a corner.
I was going
to
ask you where is Clark Phillips?
I think he's a top 10 guy.
Wow,
but I don't know if he's a top five guy.
Oh, I think he's a top five.
And Mel Kiper might agree with you.
Why isn't he a top five?
He had an exceptionally good Rose Bowl.
Who's
right?
Your number one?
My number one's Cam Rising.
Who's your number
two? And I think number two for me is Jaren Hall. Okay?
Okay.
Now, there are times where Jaren Hall's numbers look.
Is it number three or number two because of what? Potential?
Not because of potential. Because he even has more of an element of being able to hurt you as an electric runner. But it scares you a little bit more because he doesn't seem as he seems a little bit more brittle, right? And so I think that his – and you – look, you've schooled me on this. And we chatted every week with Jaren Hall after every game last year, even if he wasn't playing in those games. And he's a guy that's gone from being a solid quarterback to and being maybe even a guy just to kind of get in there and sort of run things to make up for that what you lost with Zach Wilson to being the guy on that team. I mean, they have a ton of talent at wide receiver, but the most important guy on that team is Jaren Hall, and I think that his quarterback rating was one of the top 15 in the country, right? This is a guy, which means that's not just solid, that is extremely consistent. That is massively consistent. That is a guy who finds his guys open. That's a guy who puts the ball, makes mostly the right decisions. What's the thing he always tells? I'm trying to take care of the football. Just trying to take care of the football. He has it beaten in his head. He's not going to fumble. He's not going to throw that pick. Jaren Hall's numbers last year were really good, too, and he missed three games. I mean, so I think that you add those three games in, and you're going to see – he would have been easily, I think, a guy who's a one or two or three in the city. Now, you could argue him away down further in the top five, but I don't think he falls out of the top five.
I might have him at five.
Okay.
But it's based on last year because I actually think Jaren Hall can be electric. I really he just close to for me a little bit. I just wanted to see a guy just take over a team and take over a situation. I never felt that with Jaren. I always just felt like, okay, I'm playing it cool here. Which is fine. But you really want to win and win in big games. You gotta show up.
Okay.
In those moments.
You ready for my number three?
So you want my number two?
Oh yeah, your number two. Let's hear it.
My number two is actually Puka Nacua.
I have Puka right near you. Puka's behind Jaren at three for me.
See, and then I have Clark Phillips as three.
And then I have Tavion Thomas at three.
And then I have Tavion Thomas at four.
See?
And I've got Jaren Hall at five.
I might surprise you with this one.
And I may put Tavion. You know,
he might move up there. But I got inspired during our little discussion we had during show prep today. Okay? Oh. And I'm taking a freaking flyer on somebody in the top five. This is a little bit wild. But my number four guy is a defender for the Utes. And it's Muhammad Diabate. I'm putting him there because I'm gambling here.
He could be a top three guy.
Seriously,
he could be a top three guy.
All I'm doing is taking the type of talent that it takes to be successful at Florida, which he was. Yeah. And then all the stories that you hear about this guy, why he came to the U, why he made this journey. It wasn't just like a one-off, like I guess throw a pin on
like
the map.
Wasn't like he'd been beaten out by someone.
No.
He was a guy that was starting.
He's already a graduate, right? Yeah. And this is a guy who has got his stuff together, and there's already a system where he can show up, and a defense is built around him.
He knows Florida is in rebuild. You know, he knows that he's got one year. I got to go somewhere, and he researched it out, and he said this is the place. This is the school that's going to get me where I need to go.
And then, did you already give your number five?
Was it's so hard up here because Jaren to me, I think could be potentially the number one guy. I don't know if he surpasses Cam Rising, but
is it just going to be based off of if one of them is a. I mean, neither of those guys' numbers are anywhere near what you need to be to kind of be a Heisman caliber.
There is yet to be a year with Jaren that he hasn't gotten injured, and it affects his play.
Yeah,
it's just hard. It's hard to get over that.
Okay, I'm gonna go with my number five guy. I'm going the route that you've taught me. I'm gonna blame you on this. Because this isn't something that you have on your list, but my number five is another quarterback, and it's Logan Bonner. Logan, I think Logan Bonner's going to be – he'll lead – watch, he'll lead all the – he'll lead every – all of these other quarterbacks we're talking about in all these other categories, yardage, touchdowns, interceptions. I mean, he did it last year. He's going to lead all those. He's going to be even better than he was last year, and we're still going to have a hard time putting him in the top five probably just because – he's playing against Mountain, schedules.
It is. It's hard,
and that's a tough.
It's
deal.
Hard to get over that bias.
Logan Bonner is my number five guy. He's in the top five for me because he's the guy who runs the show there. He is losing one of the great talents that they've had up there at Utah State in a long, long time. Devin Tompkins walking out, but they're replacing all these guys. A lot of talent still there, and I think that because he's going to do it with. Not a, you know, All-American type guy that he's able to throw to, it's going to be even more impressive. So I think Logan Bonner is set up for a top five, and I'm taking a flyer on Diabate at four.
Interesting.
And I just am I think that it's tough, but I think Puka Nacua is going to be one of those guys that is going to be massively impressive.
So if you're at Utah. And this is what's hard, right? Devon Vele looks like he could be a star.
Uh-huh.
But are they going to throw the ball to a wide receiver? Brant Keithy is a tremendous talent. Dalton Kincaid is a tremendous talent.
Keithy might be like a All-American straight up.
Right.
And they're right up there, but it's all dependent on these other guys. Like
right. So how do you – see, and this is where if they have an amazing year – how do you – I just can't justify putting some of these other players up there.
And part Puka Nacua gets a nod from a lot of people to be so high up on this list because of the raw talent that he has and the ability to just be an NFL
and
Jaren's, guy.
Jaren's going to throw the ball to him.
A ton. Right?
And that's why I think Devon Vele is actually going to be good because I think Cam Rising is going to throw the ball to him. And I think they're going to get him into that offense. But you have guys on Utah's defense like Cole Bishop, who was amazing last year. He didn't start the season, but he came on late, played phenomenal, and he's looked really good. You have Junior Tafuna, who's an interior defensive lineman, really good. Braden Daniels is really good. Samoa Lauamea is really good.
But see, you're saying all these guys are really good, and then you're kind of like, yeah.
No,
but then there's dudes that, like, I think about it too, because in BYU's case, think about Christopher Brooks. This is a guy who's transferring in from Cal. And
you have no idea what he's going to do.
I really have no clue. Yeah. And everyone's like, dude, he's solid. Like, he's averaged 5.2 yards a carry, in his career. And I got coming from Cal, he hasn't had a ton of carries though, really overall in his career. And he might be super explosive. He might be the exact guy to replace, Tyler Allgeier, who everybody's excited to see, what this Christopher Brooks entity is going to be. But when they come in, you go, I have no idea what I'm going to get. Tavion Thomas really is one of those guys that's easy to put up in that top 10, top 5, because he is just – I mean, the guy was third in the country in touchdowns on the ground last
year. I think what I would do – so if I'm looking at this list, I think I'd go by school. And I'd say I'm going to rank these players in their school first. And then compare it to how I rank the other players at the other schools. And then I think it's easier to get kind of a clearer picture of who is who. Because there's another guy at Utah, and I know I'm talking a lot about Utah because I know a lot about it. The thing is Jalen Johnson, this young freshman running back, he could just step on the steam on the season, like all the other running backs, Zach Moss and Ty Jordan and. He has that kind of potential.
Well, we have a lot of time to still kind of figure this thing out. Yeah. And what's great about this 1660 list is it's so freaking hard at the top. It's hard. The entire list is hard, top to bottom. At some point, there's not going to be a ton of difference between number 51 and number 58. And the reality is,
I'm just going to go by NFL talent. I think is the
one
NFL
through
talent.
Five. 1 through 5 is going to be difficult all year long, and it's going to change, guaranteed. I mean, that's just the way
number
it is.
Number one won't change.
Scott says number one won't change. So there you go. What would it take for Jaren Hall to eclipse or to be that? You said he has the potential to be number one guy on your list, but he's five, right? Isn't that where you have him?
So Cam Rising throws the ball better. If Jaren Hall is throwing the ball better, maybe his arm is healthy and all these things, and he can run and not get injured, Jaren Hall could be flat-out scary. I'm just telling you.
Let's take our first break here. We're here at the warehouse. It's a Friday, which means we're doing some amazing
deals. Boom!
Scott just yelled boom into a hot mic, and that means everything's exciting. So here's the deal. I've got a sheet in front of me, and when Tom rolls up here, we're going to get the full deal on
Let's
this.
Let's give away the store before Tom shows up.
He always does a way better job, because like I'll be conservative with the numbers that are on here, but Tom a lot of times will go, I don't like that. I'm going to take even more money off. Ooh. So that's the ability he has. But one thing that you can look at is that, and Scott, you know what? Scott, you just got a bed delivered to you from the warehouse.
Just look at me.
You're,
do I look like someone
peppy?
Who's had about the four best nights of sleep
happened
in my life?
Is that what's happened?
And I am not exaggerating.
No, Scott.
I am not. That bed is beyond
amazing.
Comfortable.
Amazing.
It's like a drug. sleeping pill drug.
You don't need a prescription for this. So come down and ask him about the Scott Mitchell bed special, the adjustable base. He had the one that was top of the line. And you can get that great deal right here at the warehouse. They've got queen bed frames starting at $299, king platform bed starting at $349. They've got a 5-piece dining set for the listeners. How about this one? Normally about $1,000 more than this, about $1,700 at the competitors across the street. This weekend, all the way through Memorial Day, as I said, they're already doing Memorial Day prices. $639 from $1,699 to $639. So there you go, 5-piece dining set. If you're looking for that. They've got tables and stuff back here. There's big tables you can put out there, and they're taking $400 off like today. Let's go.
If you're in the market for furniture, you got to come to the warehouse. You just do. You're going to get great quality products at an unbelievable price.
Ask Mike about the free gift special that he's going to be doing as well. So we're going to come back. More to go. 1825 South, 300 West here in Salt Lake City, just east of Costco. That's where we're at. If you want to come down, hang out, high five Scott. Tell him that he's dead wrong in his top five. All this is still going. More to go right here at 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. You want to come by and, I don't know, chop it up. You know, some of the best discussions we have are off the air sometimes. So you can come back. You can come down to the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West.
And hear the backstory.
You can hear the backstory. You can hear Scott tell his wild stories from his time as a professional athlete. but also, we like to laugh. So if you like to come down, hang out, we're here at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake, just east of Costco. And tons of savings to be had if you're looking for some. If you're looking for some to save some dollar bill, y'all. Scotty, we were just going through. It is hard, man. It is hard to go through the 60 and 60. I mean, we have to turn in our ballots. This is like going back to high school and like having homework, man. And it's the good kind of homework though. But the part where once you get to like 25. And they start being like, gosh, I don't know. Because is this kid over here supposed to be, you know, is Ben Bywater a guy that you put in your top 30? Is he a guy you put in your top 20? Is Devon Vele, is that a top 15 guy? Is he a top 10 guy? I mean, it's a hard thing to get through. So we got a lot of decisions to make here. But anyway, chat with us here at the warehouse at 1825 South 300 West. We've got tons of stuff to talk about today. And, Scott, the first thing I wanted to bring up with you was we're making this announcement because in about an hour, that Davis Vision block party that they have going on, 11649 South and 4000 West. So you get off of that 114 South exit, go all the way out to 4000 West there. Davis Vision block party going on. If you go out there, they're going to pick one lucky winner today. to get free LASIK. You got to go over there, sign it up.
Wow.
11649 South and 4000 West. That's out there at Davis Vision. DavisVisionMD.com is the website. Look it up online. You can see where to go. You've got about, I don't know, I'd say 45 minutes or an hour if you're in that area. Go over there, sign up. We're going to select a winner just before 5 o'clock today. So, in the meantime, Matt Biamonte joins us on the program, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, also one of our BYU insiders for KSLSports.com. What's going on, Matt? How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Fantastic. We're going over, did you get your ballot for the 1660? Because we're going through it, and I just at some point I'm gonna throw my hands up in the air and go, I don't know, when it gets to 40 through 60, I'm not sure how to handle it.
I haven't. I need that ballot, but yeah, it's going to be. Thank you. I want to get my hands on that thing, but yeah, 40 through 60 is going to be tough. But I do think the top 10 should be relatively easy, don't you think?
Well, relatively easy.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, relatively easy in the sense that, but I think it'll be changing all the time. I think that, or maybe not. I just think that the guys who are going to be the difference makers in the state of Utah when it comes to college football. I mean, like, it could be Cam Rising at number one all season long. It could be Jaren Hall. It could be any of these guys. Now, I just named a bunch of quarterbacks, but I mean, it's totally going to be changing. So
the thing is, part of about these kind of lists is how do you, is it based on what you've done up to this point or what you project for the next season? That's what's tricky because you're right. Cam Rising could lead Utah to the playoff or, Jaren Hall could lead. I don't know, but it's fun. That's what makes the summer fun is you get to debate these things for the next couple months.
See, it's really simple, Matt. It's kind of like the college football top 10. You're going to have a lot of people from the SEC in the top 10, probably six teams. So it's kind of the same way here. You're going to have like six Utah guys in the top 10, and then you just kind of figure out the rest from there. So that's all you have to do.
Here's the thing, though. Here's what's interesting. I think a BYU guy will get selected higher in the NFL draft than any Utah player.
Oh, who do you think that'll be?
Blake Freeland, left tackle.
Oh.
See, I was telling Scott, I go, there's a handful of these guys. There's some BYU's best players. You got a couple of linemen that are just going to be, higher value because of that position that
so,
they play.
So is he the best player then?
That's what makes the list so hard. I don't know, maybe. Now that I'm thinking, I'm like, because in my mind, I'm like, well, he's not going to be the most impactful, but then I'm also like, maybe he will be, because if Jaren Hall never gets sacked and this offensive line is great, like I think they can be, then BYU could be 11-1. So maybe he is the most impactful and the best player if it leads to Jaren Hall being protected.
If we start to look at this thing, when we go through these lists, and we were talking about Jaren Hall, and Scott's big thing is he's like, look, he's a productive and electric guy when he's healthy, but he's had two really not very – I mean, both times he's been, playing significant time for BYU at quarterback, it's because it's been – he's had injuries that have plagued him as well. So is his ability to be able to just stay healthy, is that really kind of something that holds people back from putting him maybe in that top five too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you look at what he did when he was on the field last year, guys. He was an excellent quarterback. His numbers career-wise are on par with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson was the second pick in the NFL draft. The difference is Zach Wilson didn't have the injury concerns. Even though he had injuries in multiple seasons, that wasn't the perception. And so I do think the injury thing is a little unfair to Jaren, because who knows what could have happened in 2020. If they needed him, maybe he could have went. But Zach Wilson was playing so great, and they shut him down to get him healthy. So I think it's a little unfair to say he's completely injury-prone. And things happen. And there's guys who in college, Taysom Hill is a great example of this. Taysom Hill could never stay healthy, and I think that was probably the number one reason he didn't get drafted, because people labeled him as, that he's never going to be healthy. And then for every year in his career, except for last year, he had no injury problems. So injuries are a weird thing, and it's certainly affecting his stock. But he's more talented than Zach Wilson in an overall package. His arm strength is a little less strong than Zach, but when you add in the running game and everything else, I think he's a better athlete than Zach. So the sky's the limit for Jaren, and if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be one of the top five quarterbacks in college football this year.
Wow, it's a pretty strong statement.
Do you disagree? Do you disagree, Scott?
Well, top five in all of college football is pretty hard because I just don't think he's a numbers guy anyway. And the way that we look at those, we were talking about, you know, Yogi Roth came on our show this week and he said Cam Rising is going to be a Heisman candidate. And I thought that's a really hard thing to say because Heisman quarterbacks or even Heisman consideration for quarterbacks are nowadays you got to throw for 40 touchdowns and five interceptions to be like even looked at. Because and throw for an insane amount of yardage, too, which is not really Ben Cam Rising's game.
Well, it's not Kyle Whittingham's game.
Right. I mean, it's not Andy Ludwig's game. And so I know they're going to be airing it out
It's not BYU's game either.
Well, I mean.
It's not their game.
Does their identity change a little bit, though?
The offenses are very similar. Here's the thing. If you're going to compare Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall. Zach Wilson threw the heck out of the football. I mean, as a pure passer, he's far better than Jaren Hall. And that's what NFL teams are going to look. Does he have the arm strength? Does he have the accuracy? Is he a good decision maker? And that to me is where Jaren Hall has to improve if he's going to be considered an elite player.
The stats don't back that up though, Scott.
Yeah, but it's not about stats. It's about talent and ability. It's about can he make the throws? Is he talented enough to actually make the throws? There are guys that have come from schools where their numbers are not even close to other players, and it's like they're just talent. Their ability to play is just different. And that's just the way I see it with Jaren and Zach. I agree that Jaren is a phenomenal athlete, and I don't I think BYU could actually use him more running the football, but then you get into that whole thing. He's not a guy. He's not a durable guy when he's running the football. At least he hasn't been. They don't have an answer. They don't have an answer if he gets hurt. You know, there's no Romney there to back up anymore. So I'm a little concerned, and I think they are too, that we got to keep Jaren Hall healthy. Now, why has he not thrown the ball maybe with the right zip, or I just wonder if he's been injured, because you find out after the fact that he had serious shoulder issues last year for quite a few games, and that will impact your ability to throw the football. But comparing him to Zach Wilson at this point, I don't think they're the same quarterback throwing the football.
That's fair. I do think you are discounting, though, a lot of what Jaren Hall did last year in terms of accuracy. I mean, there's numerous games where he was pinpoint on deep passes, like Zach was in 2020. The Virginia game comes to mind where he was dropping dimes to Samson Nakua. Baylor's another one where he completed a lot of long passes. USC at the end of the year, he had some nice deep touchdown passes to Puka. That post corner to Puka in the USC game was pinpoint, tight spiral. So I would agree Zach is better. I'm just saying I don't think the difference is maybe as big as you think. And for what I saw in spring, too, he was deadly accurate in spring football. So I would be shocked if we have this discussion at the end of the year that you don't think that he is a much improved passer this upcoming season.
I've said all along I really like Jaren Hall and his ability. I mean, I've never been.
Scott,
I'm not getting that vibe, Scott.
You.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, me neither. You know what? I don't get that vibe either, Scott. I need you to start. I need you to start respecting Jaren Hall.
I feel like Shaquille O'Neal talking to Donovan Mitchell. Right? It's like I got to see something. I just have to see some more. I'm just. And
I respect that. Hey, Scott, I respect that. All right, we'll see. I'll go to work.
I just wonder if some of his issues, some of Jaren's issues, are related to being injured.
All right. Well, I'm interested because these are hard lists to do because if you're just basing it off of last year or the quote unquote potential
of this year, yeah,
that's hard too. So the balance there is going to be difficult. You know,
or if you're basing it off who you think is going to project to be the best person at the pro. Next level, who the right. actual.
If you yeah. just went off of, yeah, being pros, and yeah. That's the thing. Nobody wants to see a list with three offensive linemen on it or, like, you know, like an edge rusher. It's like you want to see those offensive guys.
Hans might want to see that.
No, yeah. I know, but well, he actually might. But he's smart about it. He knows where the football bread is buttered. It's not really in the trenches. It's those guys in the backfield. It's a quarterback. It's those wide receivers. It's those running backs. So we'll go from there. All right. Matt Biamonte, Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio every week. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Final segment of the program. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us today. Scott, do you have fun today so far? Everything good?
I had a lovely day, lovely week.
And then you get to visit your mom this weekend.
See my mom.
That's going to be really cool. Yeah. Did you get the binoculars?
Yeah, of course I did.
You
did?
You're not going to buy them down there?
No, they're packed in my bag.
I love how your sister's like, don't bring mom binoculars. She's just going to spy on the neighbors. You're all, let the lady spy on whoever she wants.
She's the Tom Brady of mothers.
She's the goat. She's the goat. She's got a beef. You don't need to worry about it. Just let her do her thing, man. Final segment of the show. Now, I know that soccer usually doesn't interest you, Scott.
It's not usually.
But we've got the always. World. We got the World Cup coming to the U.S. in 2026, though. So the next World Cup is going to be happening, not the next one. So obviously, there's one this year in Qatar, and they're doing it in November because of the heat, right? But the 2026 World Cup comes to America, Canada, and Mexico. So the United States, Canada, and Mexico all kind of sharing venues.
Gotcha.
So we have a handful of venues that are happening here. And it's going to be it's actually going to be a bigger World Cup, 48 teams in this thing. But they've got 16 areas that are still looking to bid on being a stadium host for the World Cup coming up in 2026. Now, Salt Lake City, I mean, we're kind of getting into soccer. I mean, not kind of getting into it now. Right. What I'm saying is we're a soccer town, right? We like soccer.
Yes.
We don't have a huge population compared to some of these other places, Chicago, L.A., New York, right? But we have big stadiums that hold, you know, I don't think you couldn't do it at a place like even Rice-Eccles that holds 55,000. You'd have to have it at Lavelle Edwards Stadium that's closer to that 65,000. But even then, Salt Lake was eliminated for being one of the places that could host a World Cup match. I'm insulted by it. So we can't host a World Cup match. We're not good enough for the world stage.
I'm sure there's probably a priority about it. So
yeah, and those just the big cities. And guess what? SoFi Stadium in L.A., the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, all places that are still in the mix there.
Of course they are. That's a no-brainer.
How dare they?
Why are you this is?
No,
like,
I just wish they have 16 places they could decide on. Salt Lake should be one of those places. Come on,
you need like 80,000 or more.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just need a big stadium.
All right, for Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. Many thanks to the folks here at the warehouse. Megan pushing the buttons back in back downtown, and then Brady hooking everything up and getting everything working right. So for everybody, we'll be back next week. 97.5 1280 The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.